Paul said, I have a desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And I believe that that is a possibility, amen. I don't believe that that's something that's said in the Word of God that cannot be achieved by the child of God. So we talked about what God's will represented. The will of God deals with the desire of God, God's pleasure for your life. What is God pleased with in your life? Now, I realize that a lot of times it's real easy to please the flesh. It's easy to please the world. It's easy to please the devil because it comes natural to us. But it takes some effort to please God. And it takes some spiritual understanding and wisdom to please the Lord. But Paul had a desire that the people of Colossae be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. What one wishes or has determined to be done in your life is the will that they have for you. And so we've asked you these questions. What does God want for your life? What does he want you to be? What does he want you to do with your life? And where does he want you to accomplish that task? How does God want you to live your life on this earth? All those things involve the will of God. Now, I realize that many times circumstances and choices that people make around us can seemingly alter many things in our life. But God has a desire that you as an individual be in his perfect will. Do you want God to do something in your life? And what is it? What is it that you want God to do for you? We talked about the will of God for the sinner. And in short, it's God's will that men that are lost and undone be saved by the grace of God. It's the will of God for every lost man, boy and girl in the world to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. And that's why he sent his son to die for the sins of the world. The gospel is not limited by our conversation or our dialect. It's not limited by our color nor our country. It's not limited to continents. It's not limited to culture. But the gospel, amen, is a commission that reaches out into all the world. And the power of the grace of God can reach you this morning if you're lost. God's desire for your life as a sinner is to be saved by the grace of God. Then we begin to talk about the will of God for the saint. God has a will for your life as a child of God. Do you want to know what that is? Are you interested in being aware of the will of God? I'm amazed at people that never consider what God's will is in the matters of their life. Now, I realize people can be a little weird and almost mystical about the will of God sometimes, and I realize that some things can be a little frivolous, but God is interested in every aspect of your life. Decisions that you're about to make, decisions that you've talked about making concerning your life, your family, your children, your occupation, what you're going to do with your life. Have you thought about God's will? You do have a will, but is it in conjunction with the will of God? What is God's will for your life as an individual? We talked about the gift and the grace of God in reference to the will of God from the book of Galatians. We talked about responsibility and relationship that involves the will of God. Whosoever shall do the will of God. There's responsibility. The same as my brother, my sister, and my mother. There's the relationship. You want to have a relationship with God? Then do the will of God. Amen. Well, preacher, I don't know what the will of God is. I don't believe it. I don't believe that. Amen. If you don't know what the will of God is, then you're living in open sin. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, either that or you lost your mind. God has a will for your life and you have it in your hand. Amen. You have a Bible and God can give you instruction in the Word of God and you can know the will of God and you can be filled with the knowledge of the will of God as you let the Word of God work in and through your life. I want to talk to you from the book of Romans chapter number 1. If you're there this morning, Romans chapter chapter 1, just briefly with the help of the Lord. I want to discuss the will of God, and I want to talk to you about prospering in the places that you go and the people that you influence. What is God's will about where you're at and who you're around? Here's what Paul said in Romans, and this is different for me, and I've said that from the outset. I've never preached in this type of format, but I believe this is what God wants us to deal with this morning. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." Paul talks about the will of God, and he talks about it in verse 10. He said, "I'm making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Paul had a desire to go to Rome and to be with these people. And he said, "I want my journey to be prosperous when I come unto you, and I want it to be in the will of God." And so I'm interested this morning in simply asking you, are you interested in being where God wants you to be and around who God wants you to be around? Amen. Paul said that I have prayed, and I have prayed at length, and I'm looking for the means that I might come unto you in the will of God. And in doing so, he says, I want to be prosperous. So I want to prosper in the place that I go in the will of God. And I want to have the right kind of influence on the people that I am around when I get there. It's important that you be where God wants you to be, and it's important that you be around the people that God wants you to be around. So I want to talk to you first of all about the place that I'm at. Amen. I want to be in the will of God. I want to be where God wants me to be. You know why? Because I'm expending time there. I'm spending time there. Amen. My life is being used up where I'm at, and I don't want to waste any of my time. And I've wasted a lot of time. Amen. Can everybody say amen? I've wasted a lot of time. I've been places that I have no business being in. And I'm not talking about bad places, wicked places. I've just been places I didn't have no business being. And I probably didn't pray about it like I should. And I was there, and it wasn't prosperous for me because I wasn't in the will of God. But I want to be where God wants me to be. I want to realize that the time that I'm spending where I'm at today involves the will of God. And I can say to you this morning with confidence that I'm in the will of God this morning. Amen. And I want to prosper where I'm at. I can be where I'm supposed to be, but I may not be prospering. You may be in the will of God this morning, but are you prospering in the place that God has put you in? Amen. You're doing some things when you're in the place of God's will for your life. You're spending your time. That's very important to me, and I hope it's important to you. It may not seem that relevant as a young man or a young lady, but as you move down the path of life and travel down the road of time, time will get more precious to you than it's ever been. Right now, it doesn't mean much to you, but I'm telling you, it's fleeting. And in a blink of an eye, amen, you'll wake up one day an old man and wondering where your life went. You're spending your time, so spend it where you should. Spend it where you should. I'm telling you, John the Baptist burned his life out for Jesus, and he only lived just about 3 years, I believe, before they took his head off. I mean, as far as in the ministry, he was 33 years old or so, I guess around 30 when they killed him, something like that. But John spent his life out for God, and we don't know much about John's childhood as a young boy, know very little about the Lord Jesus. But when John was introduced to the nation of Israel,
as the forerunner of Christ. He spent his life out in a short way for God, but I believe he is where God wanted him to be, doing what God wanted him to do, and that's exactly what I want in my life. Hey, Dad, listen to me. Are you listening? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you in the will of God? Are you prospering in the place that God puts you? If I had a job, amen, as far as the secular world is concerned, I'd want to be in the will of God in that job. And in that job, being in the will of God, I would want to prosper in it. It is the will of God. Paul said, I'm making a journey and I'd like to come to you as soon as I can. And when the means are provided, I'll be there. I'm praying about it. But when I come, I want to have a prosperous journey. I just don't want to show up, amen, to have breakfast with you, sit down in fellowship. I want my journey to be prosperous. I want it to be worthwhile. I want it to have some meaning to it. And so today, you may be on a job. These ladies teach in the school. You may be at home tending to your household, and that may be the place that God has put you, but be prosperous there. Amen. Be prosperous in the place that God has put you. I want to prosper physically in that place. Amen. I want to prosper mentally in that place. I want to prosper spiritually in that place. As I make my journey to the places that God wants me to be, I want to prosper in those areas. I want to grow in grace. I just don't want to sit there like I'm not on a log and just be there. I'm in the will of God. I have no choice but to be here. Maybe mom and dad has put me here, but I want to know that I, Joseph, am in the will of God. I want to know that I'm where God wants me to be. I want to know that this is what God wants me doing, and I want to prosper there. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I'm going to come to you, but I'm not going to come to you unless I come to you in the will of God. And if I come to you in the will of God, I want to prosper there.
Amen. It's amazing to me the people that are not interested in prospering in church. Amen. You're in a house of God. And I hope that this is the will of God for your life. Amen. You should prosper in it if it is. You should be involved. You should be a part of the body. You are a part of the body if you're a member of this church, and you should prosper in the place that you are in. Amen. You're spending your time here. Are you listening to me? You may go out tomorrow and buy you a brand new car. You may buy you a brand new home. You may buy you a brand new outfit. You may go out and buy you a piece of jewelry that exceeds your imagination, that you'd ever have the money to buy that. But none of that is worth 1 ounce of your time when you compare your time and the value of it in this life. But it seems as if our time means nothing to us. But I want to spend my time in the place that God has put me in, and I want to serve, amen, in the will of God. I'm spending my time here. You know what else I'm doing? I'm establishing a testimony. I'm leaving a mark. Every place you've been, I could call those people that you were friends with or a part of their life. I'd say, hey, you remember Bill Carr? Oh, yeah, I remember Bill Carr. He worked at Synergy up here in Cincinnati. I know him. And they could tell me things about him. Good or bad, whatever the case may be. They could say, yeah, I know Bill. They could give me a description of his physical outward appearance. And they could give us a description of the way he handled himself and the testimony that he left and the mark that he left. Hey, wherever you're at, you're leaving a mark and a testimony. Amen. And there is a will of God in that. And you should prosper spiritually, physically, and mentally in the will of God. Some of you fellas, you go to a job
and the only reason you go to a job is to ring the clock at the end of the day so you can go home. You have no desire to prosper there. You have no desire to better yourself. You have no desire, amen, to do anything, amen, but just punch the clock. And if that's the case, amen, that's the case in your life. But one of the men in one of the workshops this week talked about our life's work. He talked about what we are doing with our life, and he talked about how sacred that is. We had several people make statements that kind of was astounding to some of our staff, and that is that God doesn't call everybody to preach. God does not put everyone on the mission field. God does not allow every person to be a Christian school teacher. And so whatever God has for your life, whatever you're doing with your life, you should prosper at it. You should give it your best and leave a mark of godliness where you're at doing what you're doing. We're not interested in that. But I'll tell you what, one man was in that workshop, and it's amazing some of the things that I've preached in the last several years, 3 years, and some of the things we've tried to implement in the school and how they were discussing things in their school settings and what they are seeing in schools in the Christian realm and in the public realm that are falling apart. And here's what he said. He said, we have lost the sacredness of a man just having a job and doing that job and advancing in that job and doing his best and setting forth a testimony and a mark for the glory of God. Well, people, preacher, the people I work with are heathen. They don't love God. They don't believe the Bible. And they hate me and they hate God and they hate the church. All the more reason for you to prosper while you are there and leave a mark of godliness and leave a mark of spirituality. I'm so surrounded by the ungodly, preacher, no greater reason than to rise up, amen, and to do right and to be faithful and to have a testimony that Jesus Christ is alive in your life.
So the will of God involves the places that you're at. And I'm playing on that phrase throughout the scripture. The will of God. Paul said, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And so where is God's will for your life? Now, there have been situations, there have been people that got out of the place of God's will for their life as a result of the decisions that someone else has made. I think of Elimelech and Naomi. I don't believe it's the will of God for Elimelech to go to Moab, do you? But his two sons and Naomi went with Elimelech to Moab. I believe that the reason that Elimelech left, he had justified that reason in his mind. There is a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. Are you listening? There is a famine in Bethlehem, Judah, therefore we're leaving. But if there was going to be bread anywhere, it was going to be in Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. But what Elimelech was doing, he was leaving a problem that he was a part of. The reason why there was no bread in Bethlehem, Judah, is because of the spiritual condition that Elimelech was in. I've had people leave the church in days gone by and different things happen. And I've asked them, I said, are you in any kind of spiritual position or condition to determine the will of God for your life? They would start bringing up situations, Brother Tarvin. Well, you know, I think that this problem exists at the church and this problem exists at the church. And I'd sit there as their pastor and everything they're telling me that exists collectively in the congregation of the church is in their home, is in their children, is in their own life. And they're running from a problem that they've helped create.
I'm telling you, it's very important that you understand that Jesus wants us to prosper in the will of God for our life. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be where we are supposed to be and prosper in the will of God at the house of God, on the job site, with our family, wherever we go. Amen. We need to do it as unto the Lord. You can ask Brother Rick Rose, and you know, I kid around with him sometimes, but Brother Rick Rose, I'd say, "Brother, are you coming to the Jubilee?" He'd call and say, "Preacher, we want to try to get a room. If the Lord's will, we're coming to Jubilee." And I said, "Well, the Lord's willing if you are." And he just laughed, but very seldom he'd say, make a statement without saying, "If the Lord's will, if the Lord's will, if the Lord's will." Amen. And the Bible declares unto us that if we're going to do something, this or that, it should be centered around the Lord's will. What is God's will for your life? Amen. Is God's will for some of y'all, amen, to wake up and listen to what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, what's God's will for your life? What is the Lord's will for your life? Do you have a clue where God wants you to be? Then the people I'm around. Here's what he said. He said, "I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." Now there's a family left the church here not long ago. And a young man stood out there in the tent and wept. Amen. Because he didn't want to leave. Are you listening? Felt like that this was God's will for his life. But he just wasn't ready to get out on his own, or whatever the case may be. He didn't want to dishonor his mom and dad. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's serious business. What you need to do is determine what the will of God is for your life. And where God wants you. Because sooner or later, you're going to have to find the place of God's will for your life. Amen. Are you listening? Sooner or later, you're going to have to find the place of God's will for your life. I place that so strongly in my children that I believe that if this church went down a path of liberalism or carnality, and I remained the pastor of it to try to bring it out of the hole that it was in, but if it got to a place where my children could not, with a clear conscience, raise their children here in this church and put them under the influence and the spiritual atmosphere that they felt like was necessary for them to survive in this world, I believe they'd leave. Amen. Even though I'm the pastor. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But I believe they would. But I thank God it's not that way. Amen. But I'm telling you, I fight it every day. I fight the threat of historical statistics every day as a pastor. Trying to keep things clean, trying to go down the right path, trying to keep the hand and the touch of God on the church. And it will be a battle till Jesus comes. And there's many of these battles that have been lost in the past by men that have led up, men that say a lot of good things. Oh, you can go to conferences, you can go to churches, and they'll stand up and they'll open up a Bible and they'll move you with illustrations and move you with their knowledge of the Bible, but they say nothing about nothing when it comes to sin. It's always general. Sin is bad. Why, certainly sin is bad. But I'm going to tell you what, it's bad in your life, and it's wicked and ungodly, and it's going to destroy you. But I want to be concerned about the will of God and the place that I'm at. I want to be concerned about the will of God, about the people I'm around. Here's what he's telling us here in these verses. as we close out, the people I'm around, I'm going to influence them if I'm going to be in the will of God. Now I'm going to ask you something. Are you influencing the people you're around? Or are those people influencing you? If you could say, Brother Willie, if you can honestly say to me, Preacher, I'm around some people and they are a bad influence on me, then I, on the authority of the Bible, can say that you, sir, are out of the will of God. If you young ladies are around people or other people in your, whether it's family, whether it's in your neighborhood, and those people are a bad influence on you and you are not a spiritual positive influence on them, then I can honestly say that you are out of the will of God concerning the people you are around. If you're around somebody, Bradley, here in this church or outside of this church, McKinley, and those people are influencing you in a negative way, then you are out of the will of God. The biggest problem is it's not necessarily that you're out of the will of God because you're around those people. It probably means that your heart is not right with God. Because Paul said, I long to be with you. I long to come to you. I long to be a part of fellowship. I long to see you. I want to be an influence on you. The only way you positively influence people is you take a stand for God. You put yourself in a corner and you declare where you're going to be and what you're going to believe and where you're going to stand for God. And in doing so, you rise up, amen, and say, I'm going to do this. This is the way my life is going to be lived. I'm going to be faithful to God. And they will try you. They will test you. They will try everything in their power to get you to bend, to get you to give in, to get you to slip, to get you to let go just a little bit. Oh, they don't want you to fall to the bottom. They don't want you to go all the way down. They just want to see whether or not you'll let go just a little bit. Amen. I've had them try to get me to gamble. Oh, it's just a little contest. I've had them come by and have pornography and say, what do you think of that, preacher? And snatch it. Now, they didn't sit there and set it on my desk and say, here you go, look at this. They just said, what do you think of that, preacher? And just snatch it away. Just wanted to see if I'd slip. Just wanted to see how far I'd go. And the only way that you're going to be an influence on them, Chance, is to take a stand for God and to be faithful to God. Amen. He shows that stuff. And you know what I'd say? I'd say, you have got a perverted and a wicked mind, sir. You're ungodly. I said, you know what you're doing? You're living in a dream world. You got things going in your mind that you can never have. You're looking at something you can never have. You're looking at something you can never have. You're looking at something that's like looking in a wish book. Amen. It's like looking in a Sears catalog when you're a homeless person and dead broke without any hope of ever having a job. Looking at a Rolls Royce. You're living in a dream world, something that never exists, that you'll never be able to have. Amen. And you take a stand and you're a witness to them on the job. They come off with their jokes and with their carnal words, and you rise up and you ask them if they're a Christian. You say you're saved. You say you believe the Bible. Are you listening to me? Some of you have no spiritual backbone at all. Spiritually, you couldn't hold up a good ball cap, much less a cowboy hat. I'm telling you, you have no spiritual backbone. You can't take a stand for God. Amen. Are you listening? Who you around? Who's doing the influencing? Now, you're going to be around ungodly people. Every man that works in the secular field in this building is around the ungodly. What kind of witness are you to them? I was playing golf in Pigeon Forge,
And I just kind of got back, started playing golf a little bit, get my mind off things, spend some time with my boy when I get a chance. And I went up there to play by myself while the hens went and chopped. Amen. We was eating out, Brother Thren, and I noticed this fellow was, kept looking at us. Here I am. What was it, 11 of us, 11 women? And he was saying stuff. And I thought he was talking to me, but I couldn't hear what he was saying, so I just ignored him. And we were sitting there eating. And I got up, and we got up, and we all got up and started to leave. And he said, 11 to 1. He said, how'd you get them odds? I said, I'm a Mormon. It's a good thing they wasn't Mormon, I guess. Amen. He just laughed, about fell out on the floor. Amen. But I was coming up, it was crowded, and there was a group of a couple of guys up in front of me, and they was a little slow, and I was playing a little quicker by myself. And we came up on a couple of tee boxes. I waited on them, and finally he said, you know, if you want to go ahead and hit, you go ahead. And so I went ahead and, you know, played with him throughout the rest of the game. And I'm not being critical, but he had on a pair of shorts. And he made mention, he said, you live around here? I said, no, sir, I'm from Kentucky. I said, I'm with a Christian school. We're here for the convention. He said, yeah, we're here too for that same thing. I said, that right? He said, yeah, we're from Powell, Tennessee. I said, so you're part of Crown College? No, sir. I said, I teach in the school there. I'm the soccer coach and teach in the school. And it's amazing how a little bit uncomfortable he got. I'm talking about people supposed to believe what we believe. All of a sudden things, I said, I pastor Pleasantview Baptist Church. And then he said, oh, I know Kelton's on my ball team and everything, you know, so. Taking a stand. Things change when they know where you stand. And they're going to try to get you to back up. And some of you have. And some of you are trying to get over that. I'm going to tell you young men something. When you go out on a job and you work with people as teenagers, Matthew, as a teenage young man, and you go out on a job site, I don't care if they're Amish, Mennonite, Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, it don't make no difference who they are. And you go out there, and they know where you go to church, and they know you profess to be a Christian, they're going to see how far they can take you. They're going to see how far that you'll let them get by with getting into your mind. And when you start laughing at what they're saying and popping back at what they say, on the same conversation level. And God the Holy Ghost, in a week or two, or that very moment, or a day or two down the road, I mean, pounds your heart about giving in. Buddy, it's a whole lot easier to go further with them than it is to make it right.
Amen.
It's tough. It's a whole lot tougher. It's a whole lot tougher. It's a whole lot tougher to get right than it is to stay right and stand right. I guess that's the way I should. Let me rephrase that. It's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier to stand right than it is to get right.
Amen.
You always think about that phrase. It's a whole lot easier to stand right than it is to get right. Amen. The people I'm around, I'm going to influence them. I'm going to influence them. So, well, preacher, I'm not an influence on them. Oh, yeah, you are. You know what they think you are? They think you're a joke. You come in there with all kind of convictions, all kind of standards. You know, you love Jesus. You sing in the choir at Pleasant View. We believe this. We believe that. We dress this way. We dress that way. And now all of a sudden, a bunch of that stuff has changed and slipped through your fingers. You have influenced them. You sure have. Paul had a desire to impart something unto them. Talking about being around people in the will of God. He had a desire to impart something unto them. He said in the latter part, he said, I long to see you in verse 11 that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. He said, I got something I want to give you. When you're around the right kind of people or any kind of people in the will of God, you have something to offer them. Amen. That's what being where we were at. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, people, this kind of unnerves me a little bit. I read books sometimes. I used to read a whole lot more than I do now. But I read books, and a lot of those books, those authors don't believe what I believe. And a lot of different diversities of material that are out there when it comes to books. And you got to learn to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. My pastor taught me that, Brother Steve, when I was a young preacher boy. He said, son, you're going to read after men, and they'll be Calvinistic in one way. You're going to read after men, be Arminian. You're going to read after men that's got a lot of good things to say about certain subjects, but they may not hold the same standard that you hold as far as convictions go or the King James Bible. He said, but you're going to have to learn to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. And I don't understand what's so complicated about that. I've been able to do that. I've sat down. I didn't mean to. I didn't go purposely. But I've sat down and listened to a man preach. I've listened to men preach on the radio. And they did not quote or use the King James Bible. Didn't affect my faith in the King James Bible a bit. Amen. Not a bit.
Amen.
And I don't understand why we can't produce young people. I don't understand why we can't produce young men that can listen to something that's wrong and say, that's wrong. And I'm not going down that road. Well, he's smart. No, he's not. If he's smart, he'd believe what I believe. He ain't smart. Say, preacher, he is intellectual. You don't know how many degrees he's got. I don't care how many degrees he has. It makes no difference to me where he's been to school, how intellectual he is. I took a stand years ago and got established in a faith, amen, that touched my heart, that changed my life, and I'm not going to bend with the breeze of liberal theology. And I'm telling you, I could sit down and listen to the most liberal man speak that's ever opened his mouth, and it never affect me one bit. If anything, it strengthens my faith.
Amen.
But I don't understand why men are bent in that direction.
Right.
You're going to have to learn to do that. You're going to have to learn, amen, the people you're around to be in the will of God. I'm finished. You will influence them. You will impart unto them something. What are you imparting unto them? What are you giving them? There is people, and I know you're not going to believe this, but there's people in Breckinridge County, because of the stand that I take in some areas, that dislike me. Now, I know you're not going to believe that, but they do. I have had lost drunkards. I'm talking about lost drunkards. Tell me that other church leaders in this county have said that we were a cult. And that same lost drunkard, are you listening to me? That's been raised Catholic all his life, that told me that them people think y'all a cult over there. He said, but I'm going to tell you what, they're the cult. And he wouldn't come to this church if you held a gun to his head right now. I did everything I could do, amen, except start a fight with him to try to get him to come to church. Are you listening? I've offered to take them home and feed them chicken and everything else. I said, I'll take you home to dinner if you'll come just listen to preaching. Hey, preacher, can you do something for me? I want you to do this for me. I said, I'll do it if you'll come to church Sunday morning for three straight weeks. No, I'll just forget about it. What are you imparting unto people? And then lastly, he said he would establish them. He said, I'm going to impart unto you some spiritual gift that in the end it may establish you. I want to establish people. I want people to be established in the faith. Now I'm going to ask you something. Where you're at or where you're headed, where's the will of God in that equation?
Amen.
The people you are around and the influence that you're having on their life, where is the will of God at in that equation? Does the will of God have anything to do with the way you live your life? Being aware of the will of God, I believe, is a very important thing. And I believe as we progress through this study, and there's several things we're going to talk about, things we've already talked about, that you need to know about the will of God. You need to know that you have a responsibility to the will of God, whosoever that doeth the will of God. You need to understand that the man that does the will of God builds a relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's who my brother and my sister, my mother is. In the will of God, you understand the gift that God has given you and the grace that has been bestowed upon you to live holy and godly. You listening? And you need to understand that the places you go and the people that you are around does not happen by accident. And there should be a prosperity attitude when you go to places. And there should be an influence, positive, in the people you're around.